This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Just in the last few minutes, we've received word that Senator John Kerry intends to concede the presidential race to President Bush. We've heard from our correspondent on the Kerry campaign, Scott Horsley, and he's telling us in the last few minutes, and other news organizations are also reporting, that Kerry has already called President Bush, placed the traditional telephone call to the winner of the race, said he is in fact the winner of the race, and prepared the way for more formal and public statements later on today. This is the latest development in a dramatic election that has gone into a day of overtime. President Bush appeared to have the election won or nearly won in the early hours of this morning, but the Kerry campaign initially refused to concede. We're going to begin our coverage this hour with a wrap-up of the developments of the last 24 hours. Here's NPR's Mara Liasson.
The longest, most expensive, and most polarized presidential race in recent history is still not over. Votes in the crucial state of Ohio are still being counted. If the state's 20 electoral votes go to President George Bush, who has a narrow but consistent lead there, he will win re-election. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry also has to win Ohio to have any chance of becoming president. In Boston, the Democratic vice presidential candidate, Senator John Edwards, spoke to a crowd of Kerry supporters who had high hopes earlier in the day but had grown increasingly apprehensive as the night wore on.
Tonight, John and I are so proud of all of you who are here with us and all of you across the country who have stood with us in this campaign. John Kerry and I made a promise to the American people that in this election, every vote would count and every vote would be counted. Tonight, we are keeping our word and we will fight for every vote. You deserve no less. Thank you.
Kerry had been trying to reach the White House by a route no Democrat had taken before, putting together an electoral coalition that included not a single state in the Old South. But to do that, he needed to win Florida or carry some states in the Southwest, where Democrats had high hopes because of that region's surging Hispanic population. But Florida is now definitively in the president's column. This year, Americans showed intense interest and involvement in the presidential election. Activism was way up, with thousands of voters volunteering for the first time to help their candidate win. Pollster Andy Kohut, president of the Pew Research Center, says the final count may show that more voters came to the polls than in any election since 1992.
One of the things that the actual vote tallies tell us is that turnout is up very much. 105 million votes cast 4 years ago. It looks like it's going to be in the neighborhood of 122 to 124 million votes. In the swing states, Florida's up 20%. These are rough and ready numbers, but they're going to be pretty close. Ohio, 17%. Iowa, 17%. Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, 10%. This is a very big turnout.
President Bush was holding a lead of about 3% of the popular vote. Pre-election polls showed the race a virtual dead heat. According to Kohut, what made the difference was the ground game, the effort by both sides to get their core supporters to the polls.
Essentially, all of the pre-election polls found that the vote was basically even based on all registered voters. However, while we had a very big turnout, it probably was disproportionately Republican. Both the Democrats and the Republicans did a good job of increasing turnout, but the Republicans appear to have done a much better job of getting their vote out.
Throughout the presidential campaign, voters cited national security, the economy, and moral values as their most important issues. And the White House succeeded in making the president's leadership in the war on terror the main focus of the election. But Kohut says the exit polls, what voters tell pollsters as they leave the voting booth, showed something new.
I think we learned that moral values was the sleeper issue of this campaign. It was named as often as voters named the economy and terrorism, and more often than they named Iraq, as what was on their minds when they were casting ballots. And the people who said that moral values were an issue overwhelmingly went to President Bush. The other thing that we learned is that every aspect of the leadership dimension, President Bush bested Senator Kerry, and by a wide margin. The candidate who could do the better job in dealing with terrorism, 8-1, the candidate who was the strong leader by a comparable margin. Kerry just never was able to match President Bush on the leadership issue.
President Bush appears to be holding a lead in the face of a series of political indicators that usually spell trouble for an incumbent. A majority of people telling pollsters that the country is on the wrong track, and a job approval rating hovering just above 50%. And large numbers of voters disapprove of the war in Iraq. That suggested that voters were open to change. Yesterday, voters leaving the polls who said they voted for Kerry described their choice as a vote against President Bush. And this year, voters who wanted to vote against the president had more than one choice. But Ralph Nader, who had played a consequential role in 2000, did not have a similar effect this year. 4 years ago, Nader's margin cost Al Gore the election in key states like New Hampshire and Florida. But this year, Democrats worked hard to marginalize Nader, and in the end, the consumer advocate's support was much lower. Nader spoke to his supporters earlier in the evening.
People who advance progressive agendas, as this will be advanced without cessation, are often used to losing. But as Eugene Debs once said, and as I.F. Stone once said, the only struggles for social justice worth fighting for are those where you lose and you lose and you lose until you win. Thank you very much.
The Republican Party made a strong showing in Congress. In the biggest upset of the night, the Democrats' minority leader in the Senate, South Dakota's Tom Daschle, was defeated by former Republican House member John Thune. And Republicans picked up Senate seats in at least four states in the South where Democratic incumbents are retiring. Two bright spots for the Democrats last night were Senate pickups in Colorado, where Ken Salazar beat Republican Pete Coors, and Illinois, where Barack Obama, the keynote speaker at the Democratic convention and a rising star in the party, won handily over Republican Alan Keyes.
And today we stand here in the land of Lincoln, the man who once called for us to appeal to the better angels of our nature. We stand here as testimony to that belief that Lincoln articulated, the possibilities of appealing to those better angels. We stand here as one people, as one nation, proclaiming ourselves to be one America with the capacity to work together to create a better future for each other.
In the House, Republicans increased their majority, holding on to control of that chamber for another 2 years. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.